Thank the Lord this morning for everyone that's here. Thank the Lord for being so faithful to us all this last week. He surely is a wonderful God. Surely blesses us. We have a message that the Lord was talking to us through the week at different times. We want to start in John 18. John 18, the 37th and the 38th verse. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again with the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. Pilate said, What is truth? My message this morning is about the truth. The truth as we hear the truth, what we understand the truth to be, the way that we live, the church of God, the saints of God, the truth. God is so gracious to allow us to have the truth. Aren't you glad you have the truth? That you know what is truly right. It is such a wonderful thing. There are so many people caught in all kinds of deceptions. So many people that don't understand truth. So many people that can't rightly divide truth. Call good evil and evil good. They have no understanding of truth. And when Jesus was there, and Pilate said, What is truth? Jesus came to cement the truth, to bring forth the truth of what God intended for man in the beginning. And Pilate was there and he says, What is truth? Don't you know Pilate had been raised different? He knew different things. He knew about what the Jews believed and all, but he also had his own beliefs, his own ways. He was a ruler, a king, so to speak, in a place of authority and all. And you know, we can get confused about what truth is when we're a leader of things. We can begin to think that our thoughts and our ways and what we think about is truth. And it might not be. So glad to know that we have the truth. So glad that we've had those that have gone on before us that have lived the truth. Lived the truth. Because a lot of people want to claim truth, but are they living the truth? I was thinking of how that the elders, when I first came to the church, I was thinking about the elders and how they lived the truth. As you watched their lives and as you heard them testify and you saw their struggles and you saw how they handled it and you saw the decisions they made and the things they would not do and the lines they would not cross, no matter what came against them, it was inspiring. It inspired me that they had something. There was something that they had that was worth having. I remember coming and I came quite a few times to church and I wasn't saved. But you know what? I was inspired. I was so inspired by their lives and what they said and how they lived. I was so inspired that I was at a prayer meeting and they were getting up and they were testifying and they were testifying about this and testifying about that. And I felt constrained to testify. I wasn't even saved. But I felt constrained because it was real. And because the Spirit moved among them and backed up everything that they said and moved among them. And I remember, I believe that what I testified about was when I was a small girl and how the Lord had saved me. When I was a small girl, I wasn't claiming any salvation then, but in other words, I felt constrained to tell what God does, even though at that point in time I wasn't saved. So thankful for the truth. It is such a wonderful thing. And you know, the truth can be obscured and the truth can be lost. There are many, many things that are lost. Many understandings that we have had that are lost. There is among us right now, among the school systems and all, they're not teaching handwriting anymore. It's going to be lost. It's a relic. It's lost. And so many of the old manuscripts, many of the old documents, many of the old things that are written in handwriting, script, they're not going to be able to read anymore. They won't know how. It's being lost. Many of the things that we were taught when we were in school, you know, the basics, just the basics, are kind of skimmed over nowadays in the school systems. And it's becoming lost. I never got into really higher math. I got into algebra and geometry, and that's about as far as I went. But I can figure out problems using adding, dividing, subtraction, multiplying. It's a long way around. I remember I preached a message on a day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And I had calculated out what if you lived 100 years, exactly how much that was in God time, you know. And it was like, what was it, 2 hours and 20-something minutes or something like that is all your lifespan is in God's time. Something like that. Well, Brother Paul preached it. I had done all this longhand figuring, and Brother Paul preached it. And he put up there, I don't know what he was using, algebra or whatever, but some big formula up there, and he worked it all the way down to the end. He got the same answer, you know, but he had this new way of doing it, but that old way worked. You had to work it, though. You had to do, remember they used to have us do all those word problems where you had to use critical thinking, you know, and, but anyway, truth. Truth can be lost. Knowledge can be lost. We don't want that to happen to us. Psalms 119, 142 is the verse I want. 119:142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Thy law. The things that God told people how to live, the ways that he taught them, that was truth. People have clouded the truth. Even the Pharisees got to the place to where they no longer were doing the truth. They had added in a bunch of things that they thought were good and right and putting on heavy burdens on the people. And Jesus told them, he says, you can't even live it, but you're putting it on them, expecting them to, but you can't even do it. Heavy burdens, he said. But his laws, he went into great detail in his laws of what to do and not to do. Some of the things that we can look back from our modern standpoint, and we can look back, and a lot of it had to do with cleanliness and disease. I mean, you can see it. And God's wisdom, the people didn't have wisdom, but God's wisdom was trying to help them to understand what was clean and unclean. Not just spiritually, but physically, what it was. And God was good. His law is truth. The Old Testament was true. It's true. We read those stories. Oh, the stories that we read. They are miraculous stories. But do you know they are no more miraculous than people have lived down through the ages of time. The Hebrew children said that whether we live or die, O king, we're not going to bow down, but we will be delivered out of your hand. In other words, if God delivers this, we'll be delivered out of your hand. And if we die in the furnace, we'll definitely be delivered out of your hand. We're not careful to answer you. And yet, as we go a little longer in history, down through history, and we find men that were going to the stake, being burned at the stake, and they said, when you see me lift my hands, you know I have the victory. And they would lift up just stumps, their hands that had already been burned off. God didn't deliver them from the fire, but he delivered them, you see. The Hebrew children said, if we burn, we'll be delivered. And other men burned and were delivered. Yes. Truth. The truth of God's word. In John 17:17, it says, thy word is truth. Thy word. This Bible is truth. Yes. I don't like to hear people say that there are mistakes in the Bible. I don't like to hear him say that. Because I feel like that when we say that, we give people room to think a whole lot more things are wrong than are wrong. So I don't like to hear it. Have there been words that may have been misused in translations? Yes. But God has preserved his word. He has preserved it for us down through the ages of time. In all the obscure manuscripts and all the things that people had to do to write it down. All the memory that they had to sometimes use just memory. All of the pages torn from here and there and a page here and a page there that people would keep and hide and bring it all together so they could have the Word of God. Through all the ages of time, God has preserved His Word. His Word is truth. The things that are in His Word are truth. The things that He tells us, the right things to do, the wrong things to do, it's all true. And it's written for every age. There is a a thought that this was written of old and it's outdated and old-fashioned and it doesn't work for today. But that's not true. The Bible still works for today. It's still relevant today. Some people want to cast out parts of the things that are in the Word. But it's still relevant. It still works today. Everything that is in here still operates and works as God wants it to in this day and age. It's the inspired Word of God. It's truth. It's truth. It says in John 1:1, let me get that. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we know that not only is thy word truth, But the Word is God. This is God. This is God's personality. This is His thoughts. This is how He operates. This is what He knows. This is His knowledge. This is what He is passing on to us. This is God. We can't see God physically. We can feel the presence of God. But this is God. This Word. What is here? What is written? This is the very essence of God. And that is the truth. People want to say God is this and God is that. And they want to discount the Bible. God is nature. You know, God is your mind. God is all these different things. They want to put some kind of thought process on it that involves man, that involves nature, that involves different ways anyway, except the truth, the real truth. I am so thankful that I was introduced to the truth. In John 14, we have quite a few scriptures in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, this is Thomas. Thomas is saying, we don't know whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the truth. Jesus is the truth. When we read the stories of Jesus in the Bible, this is truth. This is what He taught. This is what He did. These are the records that have been passed down to us so that we have a written record of what Jesus did while He was here. It is such a blessing to have truth. There have been many books written. Some of them give God glory, and some of them don't. But they want to be some kind of a spiritual book. But they don't really give God glory. They give man glory. They glorify Him in some kind of way. But God is the one that deserves all of our glory. This is truth. The truth as we know it is a wonderful thing. If you have experienced the truth in your life, you've experienced salvation. You've experienced the Spirit speaking to you and blessing you and correcting you and helping you. You know it's true. And God said that He would appear to all men, teaching them. Not that just He would appear and knock on them and they wouldn't know who it was and wouldn't know what to do and just didn't have any idea what this was all about. No, it said He would appear and teach them. Go ahead, somebody quote it.
That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, which live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
That's what He teaches. He said He would do it. Man is without excuse. Some men may not have very much knowledge, but when God comes, He convicts them of something. And they are to work with that something. They are to give up that something. They are to look at that and say, this is wrong, and I will not do this. And as we allow God in our lives, and as He does that with us, we find out more and more how what God's real character is, and we begin, the scripture says, we begin to look like Christ. We begin to be an image of Him. We begin to walk among our peers and yet have an image, though we are human, have an image of who God is. How important is our image? How important is that? The outer and the inner. How important is our image? It is so important that God talk to us about our insides, our outsides, our spiritual, our minds, the way we think, the things we do, the places we go, the things we get involved in. He talked about it all in the Scriptures. He talked about obedience. He talked about disobedience. He has been very, very plain with mankind. Very plain. I'm glad to know the truth. In John 8,31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now, he's, he's in the synagogue, I believe. And he's, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Aren't you glad the truth can make us free? Have you experienced that freedom? That freedom, real freedom. Oh, listen. You know, there have been slaves throughout history, in all manner of countries, in all manner of peoples, there have been slaves. They craved for their freedom. But when they got free, they were still in bondage. Because that wasn't the only freedom they needed. But there have been other slaves throughout history that had the freedom of God. And yet they were slaves, but they were free, and they knew they were free. It's a wonderful thing to be free. To be free of all the torment and all of the guilt and all of the things that hang around our necks and bring us down. It's so wonderful to be free. Unless you've experienced it, it's hard to comprehend. We heard it before we were saved. Oh, this is a wonderful life, and you'll experience freedom, and it's a happy life, and we do just what we want to, and we this and that, and all these things, and yet people are looking out, and they're hearing you say all those things, and they're looking, and they're saying, I don't know if I can, I just don't see, it for me. Why? Because they're comparing their life. They're comparing what they do in their life, and all the things that they do to feel satisfied, and all the things they do to feel important, and all the things they do when they think they're free, and all the things that they do and they know it's a habit and they know it's bad, but they can't get free, but they want to say, I do what I want to do. No, they don't. The devil has them in bondage. But Jesus is telling them here, the truth shall make you free. He's telling them that the Jews that are beginning to believe on him, he's saying, it's going to make you free from all these things you've been thinking about God, all these ways that you've been looking at God, all of the oppressing the people and giving them rules and regulations that God had nothing in. There was nothing in the Word or nothing in his Spirit that would have led that way. But they were laying all these things upon the people. Yeah. God is so good to us. Yeah. He really is. If you drop down to the 43rd verse, 43 and 44. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He's telling them, he's now speaking to the other Jews that were there. There were Jews that believed and there were Jews that were questioning and calling him from the devil and all these things. And he's saying, he's telling them that ye are of your father, the devil. When we're out there in sin, it is a bad place where the devil leads us around, leads us into troubles, leads us into habits, leads us into folly and foolish things, leads us around. We even look back and we say to ourselves, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I getting myself in trouble like this? What is wrong with me? This is what people say. I know I said it. I imagine most people have said it. What is wrong with me? That I can't just do right. Why is it that I always feel like I have to do this? Why is it always that I feel like, you know this person isn't good for me. I know I really shouldn't be with this person at all. But why is it that I can't ever say no? Why is it that I just keep doing it? Why is it I just keep going where they're going and letting them drag me around? And people tell me, you shouldn't be with them. You shouldn't be around them. You know, it's going to lead you into trouble. And why is it that I can't do anything about it? What is wrong with me? Truth. See, the truth. The truth sets us free. I'm so glad that we are in the truth. The Church of God preaches truth. They tell us the truth. It isn't easy. It isn't something that we just, jump up and down and glorify God when we hear something. No, some things are hard. They're hard to hear. Hard to hear about us. Hard to hear about those that we love. Hard to hear some things. But it's truth. We have to have the truth. The truth is what makes us free. People are all tangled up today because they won't listen to truth. They want to believe anything and everything that somebody else says, but not the truth. And our lands are full of religions that do not have the truth. And the people are under bondage. And they're struggling to be free. And they're showing up every week hoping for something. Something that will free them and help them. But yet, they're taught when they're there, just do the best you can because you can't live above it anyway. That's not the truth. The truth is that God changes a man. He changes his insides. He changes him completely. The truth is that God laid down laws and things that we are to follow. He gave us warnings about things that we are to set aside. Why? Because they'll lead us places. They will take us places. And then he said, I want you to consecrate yourself to me. I want you to be sanctified. I want you to consecrate your life to me. So that when I tell you, you shouldn't do this, doesn't matter if somebody else is, you will follow me. You will follow me. Down, 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forgetting to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. This is truth.
Amen.
This is truth. In the latter times, some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. Oh, what are our seducing spirits, dear ones? Oh, there are so many, you can't even name them all. But since we are dealing with the truth this morning, since we are dealing with the church this morning, since we are dealing with, we are so glad we have the truth and we know how to get to heaven by following all of the Word of God, not just some, but all of it. What are our seducing spirits? Oh, you've heard them all. You don't have to do all of that. Why is that? Why don't we have to do all of that? Why is it that people can look at our saints that have gone on before, the ones that live such sacrificial lives, that followed the word very, very strictly, that, but in all of that, they had wonderful contact with God. They had miracles and healings and things done and deliverances and all these things. They had all those things given to them. Why? Because they were so dedicated. These promises we have in the Word of what God will give, it's for the dedicated saints. It's for those that are willing to give up all and follow all the Word. So where is this? You don't have to do all of that. So I want to back up just a little. I don't think you have to do that. Why don't I think you have to do that? Because I don't want to do it. That's why I don't want to do it. So now I'm going to tell you that I don't think it's necessary for everybody to do that. I don't think it's this. It's not just something I have in my own heart. See, this is where the deception comes in. It's not just something I have in my own heart where I say in my own mind, I don't think you have to do all of that. And I go on living and keep it quiet. Oh, no, I'm going to broadcast it. Why am I broadcasting it? Why am I doing that? Because it's not truth. It's a seducing spirit of the devil. And now I am broadcasting. I am his mouthpiece. And I am broadcasting to everyone else. You don't have to do all of that. Our forefathers, they lived very, very dedicated lives. They did not let the world intrude in. They not only dressed the outside of their body very modestly, very covered, very plain, undecorated, but they also walked in the world in the same fashion. They didn't participate in all of the things that were going on in their day, that all of the hordes of people were running to. They didn't participate in them. They understood that there are seducing spirits that will lead you astray in these things. Seducing spirits. Listen, listen, dear ones. There are those that have great, great confidence in our forefathers. Great confidence that they saw, lived. Great confidence. They saw their sacrificial life. They saw what they did. They saw where they didn't go. They saw what they didn't do. They saw how they dressed. They saw all those things. They have great confidence in them. But what they say now is another seducing spirit. I don't have a conviction about that. That's a seducing spirit. When you realize that those you have confidence in that have gone on before And they lived these sacrificial lives and taught these things and called them out in their messages. Called them out. Do you feel like God just made a mistake? Do you feel like, well, they just weren't in tune with God that day? That was just their thoughts. That's just what they think. Is that what you think? Because that's what you have to do with it. You have to throw out what you heard. You have to throw out what was taught in order to do it different. You have to disregard it. And yet their lives, their lives proved out some things. Do you know that as our carefulness in the gospel, the carefulness in dress, the carefulness in worldly amusements and all of those things, as that has gone by the wayside in the saints of God, what else has gone by the wayside? Healing, miracles. Why? Because God laid down in His Word that He wanted a plain people that represented Jesus. We don't get to decide. We have to conform to what Jesus would do. If He were in this day, what would He wear? Where would He be seen? His whole life is dedicated to the salvation of souls, which is what we're supposed to be after we get saved. Not just dedicated to our own selves and our own ways and how we live and this, that. No, we're supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And they are supposed to see Jesus. Listen, there's some places we go. Jesus wouldn't go. He wouldn't go. There's some things we put on our body or take off our body that He wouldn't do that. Oh, the saints of God were so careful. They were so careful. They told us, don't put on any extra things. Don't put on extra superfluous things. Don't have a lot of decoration on your clothes. Don't have a lot of things showing out. Don't do that. It's one of the reasons why the men don't wear neckties. It's superfluous. It's no purpose except to decorate the body. All of the jewelry that people deck themselves out with, all of those things, that they're expressly talked about. Down through the ages of time, they've been talked about. Jesus didn't indulge in all those things. All the worldly trappings that are out here. And they are traps. I've heard people say, well, I don't wear the big flashy jewelry or whatever. I just have this one little thing that I wear, you know. And you say, well, but why? And this one person told me one time, they said, because it just makes me feel good about myself. Is that what we're concerned with? Is how we feel good about us? Is that our mission in life? To represent Jesus, to let everybody know that please go out there and do things that make you feel good about yourself. Because that's what Jesus taught? That isn't what Jesus taught. He taught us to lay aside the world and its trappings. The saints always taught against covered limbs, legs, arms. Taught for that we were supposed to have those things covered at all times. And now people say, well, it's not so important. It's not so important. We don't have to do all that. It's sad, isn't it? Because I'm going to tell you something. You lay the saints, when they taught things, God gave them insight into the human psyche. He gave them insight, and maybe they didn't even understand all that they were doing and why they were saying what they were saying, and maybe they didn't really know. But the human psyche is always to make me noticed, to make me important. Me, me, me. And the scriptures teach you, lay aside you, fight you, don't be you. Be what the new creature God wants you to be. And they taught us all these things. And as people have laid aside those teachings, and oh, my sleeves are short now, or I wear short sleeves for this or that, or I don't wear coverings here, there, wherever. And what they say in their heart is, it's all right. What they're saying is, Jesus doesn't care. You think he doesn't care? Why would he have so much in the scriptures about how we're supposed to be on the inside and the outside if he didn't care? He does care. He says that what's inside the heart comes on the outside of the body. So I need to be careful. I need to find out what is this? What is this thing where, you know, I want to expose parts of my body? Why do I want to do that? To be noticed? To be seen? The things these are important things. People think they don't mean anything, but they do. And when you hear in a gathering of people, and when you hear somebody saying good things about God, and you hardly hear a whisper, and then somebody says that wearing the necktie doesn't matter, and you hear agreement all over the house, it's sad. It's sad. They're believing doctrines of devils. The devil wants us to think that those things don't matter, that the little things don't matter, but they do. The more that you uncover, the more you want to decorate. It used to be that the saints would not uncover their legs and their feet. But what is it now? What do you see now? You not only see it uncovered, but you see it exposed, and then you see it decorated. Why? Because it's exposed now, so now I have to make it look good. All traps. And then they wonder, why can't I get victory? Why can't I have more of this? Why can't I have more of that? Why is it that there's not enough healings among God's people? Maybe because there's not enough dedicated, unselfish, consecrated, willing to look so different from the world that it is not a mistake. They don't accidentally realize you're a Christian. They see you clear across the store and know you're a Christian. The truth, dear ones, the truth is always going to be the truth. We are to cover these bodies on the outside. We are not to decorate them in any way. We are not to wear clothes that are decorated. We are not to decorate our own bodies. We are not to do that. Why? Because we are representing what has taken place in our hearts. If our hearts are clean and pure and undecorated by the worldly things, why would we want the world to be exposed on the outside? Why? Why would we do this? If we have the goods inside, and we have humility and modesty and shamefacedness and all these things, won't it be displayed out here? Dear ones, there is power in being different than the world. There is power in leaving the things of the world alone. The things they have thought up to do to make you feel better. There's a reason to give up these things, leave these things alone, go as far away from them as possible. It used to be that the saints would not have entertainments, worldly entertainments in their home, and yet nowadays, it's in a lot of places. They didn't used to do that because their homes were sacred places. They were a place to have rest and solitude from the world. A place where they could get a hold of God without the world intruding in. But now they just have the world right there with them. And they're losing power. We're losing power, dear ones. There's a unity among God's people, and there is a power that is in unity. Yes. And when we have the kind of unity that God shows us in this word, this self-sacrificing unity, this unity that is not all about how I look, and not all about what I have to do, and not all about me having pleasure all the time. The saints, they used to fast more. And now our society is obese. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? They're getting further and further away from self-sacrifice and getting more and more into self-adoration. I don't deny myself anything. If I want to eat half a cake, I eat a half a cake. If I want fast food today, I get fast food. Even though I know it's not good for my blood pressure. But I get it. You see what I'm saying? It starts in little things. Little things. Little things. I don't see why this, or I don't see why that. And why do we have to be so strict about it? And why this and why that? You start down that slippery slope and it will not stop. You will compromise more and more and more. It doesn't start with just taking off one thing or shortening a sleeve. It doesn't start there. It doesn't end there. It just starts there. It's not going to stop there. It's going further. The saints warned and warned and warned and warned. And so what happened? People didn't want to do it. So they came up with all manner of reasons, all manner of excuses. That's all it is. One of our ministers just recently here preached up here in this pulpit. And he said that people, I think he was talking about the phrase that, you know, I don't have a conviction. He said, you know what? He said, you hear it, you read it. He says, you better just do it. And if you don't have a conviction, do it and then pray for one. But no, why is it they want to not do it and pray for one? Why? Why do they want to do it that way? Because they really still just want to do this. That's what they want to do. They don't want to be restricted there. God is a particular God. He doesn't accept any sacrifice. We found that out with Cain and Abel. Cain brought good things. He brought good things. But it wasn't what God, it wasn't done in the way God wanted him to do it. So God didn't accept his sacrifice. Listen, dear ones. What about our sacrifice? Is he going to accept our sacrifice when, well, I don't think you have to do this, and I don't think you have to do that, and I think I can still go here, and I think this is all right, and then I tell everybody else, and I encourage them to do it with me, so I'm not all alone. Is God going to accept that sacrifice?
No.
In the end, will he accept that sacrifice?
No.
He wants a pure... He was so careful to tell us what a sacrifice really was. Could be without... couldn't have a blemish. Couldn't have this. Couldn't have that. Had to be this. Had to be that. And then they had to... in other words, they had to search through their flock to find this. This lamb. So that they could fulfill it. And you think he doesn't care about us? We're his sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. Can he recommend us? There was a time in history where the only one he recommended was Job. Is that where we are today? There's so few that he can't hardly recommend anybody anymore? This is an example of my people. This is what they look like. This is how they act. This is how they do. This is where they don't go. This is what they don't indulge in. This is an example of my people. I'm so glad to know the truth. I don't plan on giving up the truth. It doesn't matter what other people do. I don't plan on giving it up. People may think you're outdated, you're old, fogey, you're this, you're that. We're living in modern times. But our sacrifice has to be the same. It's all. We sacrifice all. We don't get to choose and dress ourselves the way we want. We don't get to decorate ourselves all up and go out in the world because it makes me feel better. No. We're supposed to, when we leave our house, we're supposed to be representing Jesus. So that everywhere we go, nobody will mistake and think, this is how Jesus wants us to be. This is how what he wants on us. This is how he wants it to go. Lord, help us.
Like the enemy was the lust of the flesh. I asked God.